This morning I'm turning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. Proverbs 21, and I'll read to you verse 25 to 26. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveted greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. And this morning, our subject for meditation is the misery of the lazy. And now, okay, yes, some kaka baby warrior, or can you fall in a money group? I know that I'm a good Samoa, a kind, or a company, but before the money, you know, the misery of the lazy. And I'll let our brother read the two verses three for us, then I'll continue this. So we'll get a better listen for you.
But before I come up, you said in some sort of thing.
Thank you. I'll see that you not connect the two verses, but the two verses are connected. Like So it's a connection. Our tree did not connect it, but so it's okay. So before we go to our verse, let me just say a little about the book of Proverbs. Often people think that just some sayings, but you know, the book of Proverbs was written to teach us knowledge and wisdom, not only in moral and temporal things. It is true that each of the proverbs has a lesson to teach us, moral lesson to teach us, which anyone reading it can easily draw from it. And sometimes it has to even have to be understood by others, more deeper than us. But as we always know, that the significance of God's word is beyond this world. Whatever God has said, the Bible tells that this world will pass away, but his world stands forever. Whatever God has said in his word for us is forever. So that whenever we read it, we have to just think beyond the temporal, maybe even understand the temporal benefits we get from it. So the same way the book of Proverbs was designed to teach spiritual wisdom and knowledge about God himself and his will for us and what he really when we say wisdom, or when we say truth, or knowledge, it is what it teaches us. So that each thing, unfolds to us how truth really is. Sometimes it corresponds with the general understanding or wisdom of the world, but sometimes it goes beyond that. And here can I say, Proverbs book is so much joy, you know. Now, look what the man is much joy. Now, you say, joy, and you have to make Most importantly, you know that the whole Bible, God made it to be written so that it can show man way back to God and how man will know him. So it tells us that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. His name is not mentioned there, but everything we are told to acquire wisdom, to know knowledge, to know Christ, and through him to know God, is the wisdom. So everything there about wisdom and righteousness is about Christ, which the other scriptures in the New Testament tells us plainly, Christ, the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of the power of God. See? And also, the way of life and salvation by him. So it also, the Proverbs tells us, if you wisdom will speak as a person that if you own me, you own life. Only Christ alone can give life. When you own Christ, you will have life. So you see, that's how we understand the proverb. And also, the knowledge of Christ, as I've said, which is eternal, which when we have it, because in the Proverbs, wisdom will say that if you own me, that is it. You have everything. It's like when you own me and you value me above everything else, you are the wise person. And what else can we own in this world? And what else can we know in this world which will give us the treasure above every treasure? It's Christ. Christ alone is able to give us. So that is our thinking this morning. So that when we read the book of Proverbs, we must never think of the mere, just a mere compilation of wise sayings. And as you know, other religions have wise sayings. The Chinese and Asian cultures, even our traditional religions have wise sayings. But this is just to direct our affairs in this life. No, but the Proverbs has higher knowledge because it is a revealed truth. It's a revealed, word from God. So that whenever we think of them just wise, pithy sayings, we miss the great importance of the book. And remember, I can't read book of Proverbs. And if you and you some I can verse by verse. You know, the idea is, oh, and you have some catch a boy about So now we come to our text. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. So the meaning is that the lazy person desire torment him to death. How? Because while he desires something, he imagines something that he wishes to have. He's not able to enjoy whatever he's wishing for because why? The Bible tells us he will not take the pains to acquire whatever he desires. So this lazy person lies down, he wishes to have this and that, but then he lies down. And it's not true of every life. No, but everywhere you go, it's true. If you wish for something, if you desire for something, if you even imagine it, and you don't get up and do something about it, it's just an imagery. It doesn't work for you. So say that you desire it, and the desire will become stronger. That's why the connection of the lazy man. He covets it greatly. The lazy man will covet whatever he desires greatly. It's not physical there, but something that is so, it makes him not really enjoy life. So, that's how the best picturing the lazy person. And he said that his hand, also, in a summary form, what we say about it, the prophet teaches us that how lazy people are plunged into poverty and also how they are derived of their wishes. So you see, for instance, if somebody is a trader, he's a lazy person. Always, he'll be complaining, and also, always, while others are trying to move further, to labor further, to go and get wares so they can sell it, but he may want to maybe buy around. And then, the profit is small. But somebody will go far, far, so he can go and get, a better deal. So the lazy person will not get enough. A student, he's in school. Learning is difficult, you have to give time and mind to it. He doesn't want to give his mind and strength to learning. He just wants to, look around and play. When exams come, can he pass it? No! He has to labor for it. He desires to pass the exams, they should come with what? For something behind it. A farmer, for me, I've farmed before, so when the season comes, and you think of maybe the forest, maybe the how difficult to weed, and tomorrow I'll go and weed. And then the sunny season goes off, the rain season. When you weed, you cannot burn it to even plant it. So what happens to you? The season will pass, and you don't have anything. So whatever you wish to have, it will not come through. So you see, what Solomon is saying here, It's true of every life. See, I mean, when you talk about life here. So, as this truth is true of worldly things, so it is with heavenly things. So, I'm not crying. Some of you are so much more coming here. A babu muslim tibia biya mua. Kwajufone, mesu mo onya diopiso onya no. Aye no crying no. Eba esu nyoma, sunsumu nyoma, sansun and sutiye. It is the same thing there. A mere wish of spiritual blessing from God, of forgiveness, repentance, wisdom, sincere faith in Christ, without conscious effort to secure them from Him, deprives the soul of what? Spiritual life here, and eternal life hereafter. So, me, I'm saying, oh, okay, me, I'm saying, so, yes, I'm quite sure, yes, Christo, yes, I'm going to call the one here, yes, I'm going to call the, say, I mean, of one, yes, I'm going to call the one, yes, I'm going to And one, no, no. Baba, sorry now for and one, no. But oh yeah, and for the one who said, ah, and then go back, no, a cat about and for the bonnet extra, or say a fine and go for the bonnet. And if you're young here, you have one for the day, and change. But me, I'm saying that I'm trinomical. Me, that doesn't make a pioneer, farm or year or year full. Ah, season number, oh, season number, season number. When you saw beer when you're about to hear, what will happen to him? So you see, when we think of spiritual life, it's the same thing. If we are lazy about spiritual things, we are lazy to secure blessings from God, we will lose spiritual life here. And then, what eternal happiness also be lost. Yet, we have all the time to seek for it while we are here. Each and every day counts concerning our own, how we can ask God to help us with all the heavenly blessings. Because the Bible tells us to come for it. But how do we come? So you see that many are spiritual lazy to strive after salvation. Many are spiritual lazy. So some people don't think of that. Many are spiritual lazy. Even sometimes Christians believe it happens to us. If we are not able to pray as we ought, when it's time to pray, somehow there may be quote unquote genuine case, and we cut off our prayer times, our studying times, and our devotion times, our service to the Lord. We have been lazy in the service of Christ. We have been lazy about spiritual things. That is it. Christian laziness. That means spiritual laziness. But we don't often think of it. Jamaica says, this is a phone call. Sometimes, I'm going to go to the house. And I just said, because I have to be five things of God. My heart and mind should be, everything should be in it. So I know when it comes and I drag my feet. I'm lazy, a lazy Christian. Yeah. It happens when we become more worldly. We have to see a super now, if you see this one, so that is what Solomon is teaching us here. So I'll give you an example of, I think I have two people here. Who wish to have the blessings of God's people, but they were lazy about it. How the story of the scripture, you might think, they didn't, but it talks about spiritual laziness, which tells us of many today who also act the same way. Remember, if you have told me you know your Bible, experience how you found me, no more pedia, Yanko Paul, Ninko of Gope. Yankupon and sure the man go and so more ambassador. The first person we have here is Balaam. I'm sure we reading a Bible, Numbers, we know Balaam. Balaam was not a godly person. He was a Gentile and I think he's Moabite, Amorite or Moabite, one of these people. And the people of Israel were passing through their city. And the king of the town hiding to come and curse. He was a sorcerer, sorry. Balaam was a sorcerer, hiding to come and curse the people of Israel. He didn't know that God anything. But when he came, anytime he wants to curse, then God intervenes. Then he rather blesses the people of Israel. Then Balaam would take him to another place, tell him, oh, curse them. He even went to the stand on top of a mountain where he can see all the people of Israel. Maybe, I'm sure in their religion, maybe that's when you see that we can really. Chant on them, I don't know. And when he opened his mouth, then he blesses Israel. And at one point, at one time, even he wanted to go, his donkey was even blocking, so he decided to go still. And then he told Balaam that, you know, these people, God has blessed them. Whatever I will say, it tends to a blessing to them. So I cannot tell them. And then he has to leave and go. But then, along the problem, I mean, his words for the poor of Israel. Look at what he said. He said this, that he wished that, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my life end be like his. These are the words of Balaam. He has seen that these people are blessed. Because anytime you want to curse them, then God turns it to a blessing. Anytime you want to, then he says, no, these people, they are untouchable. And then he said that he wished to die like them. He wants his end to be like them. And what is it? Like, he wished to die peacefully as the redeemer of the Lord. The people of Israel were people God has saved from Egypt with power, with wonders, with great miracles. And he has given them his commandments. And among them is only where God can be known. Moses was leading them. God was the prophet and one leading them. And Balaam came in contact with these people. And he realized that this book, their God is a God that you cannot do against. That even if you want to do anything, he changes it up to his own will. And not, I mean, among the people of Balaam and his people, only he saw this. Balaam didn't see it. None of the people in the land realized this thing about God. But what did he do? He only wished to die like them. Why did he change his mind to be like them? No. After all this encounter with God, he lived contented in his ignorance of God. He continued to live as an idol. He continued his sorcery. Along the line, he has to even advise Balak and the people of his land to give their women to the people of Israel to sin. You see, after this revelation, even saying that, I want to be like a people of Israel. I want to die like them. So all this privilege, he put it off. What happened? Here comes a Balaam, Ohun Yakupon, Nitumi Kakra. We say, a murphy officer, Onumi, Yakupon Koko, and one down in the Norman Aisha. It was not a Pemoka Balak, said Balak, go away, which means and found Sank, Omun Yakupon, who can be here, we have to be in Tiano. And now, make us say, Ninko for the Balaam, Ninko for Nikomo, no pen on whose idea will Yakupon. Balak was someone saw my way, whose idea will. And so, think that there are many people today. They think that, okay, when I die and a pastor or a church buries me, then at least I've died in the Lord. Then I may God receive my soul. Is that not what many churches have been preaching? Okay, when you die, the church will bury you. I know some of my family members, extended family members, who think this way, and I'm sure we are aware. In the villages, they will contribute to the church, they will do everything. They want their name to be clean in the church register. Because when they die, they will take them to the church, the pastor will bless their dead body, and they will bury in the graveyard of the church. And that is all that they are pleased about. And the rest of their life, no, they have nothing to do with God. So they think that living like this, God will do what? I will see them. So they close up their mind about vital religion. When we talk of spirituality and walking with God, they close up their mind about that. Some of them who said, oh, okay, so me will not suffer with him and that's how and it's him or sorry thing more. Yankupon begging me, because so far, oh, you don't find a crisis on Yankupon. See, you're begging me out. And see, some of them, almost a bravo, almost you say, I'm proposing a good person, how almost not so a bravo, who said, so many Christopher, for informing. And then Yankupon, then some more said, almost to me, someone didn't tell me about an informal cry. And one says, are you in the dominus? But it's a sad thing for any person to live like this. To live, to think that you're a Christian, and you're just empty of God's fear. Also, you're a Christian, 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 you're a Christian. How can it be that you are a Christian, but you are not bound by the rules of Christianity? You have not even sought out how to really become a Christian proper. You have not even, sought out how Christians should be. Sometimes people think that, oh, well, just when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, I just confess my sin, oh Lord, I'm a sinner, save me, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I've not believed this. And that is all the Christianity they have. They have nothing again by just confessing the name of Christ. That is not salvation. Why wouldn't teach us that? We have to go deeper. Balaam wished to be die like the righteous. But what is it? He went for on his offspring. He went for to live in idolatry. Did that make him a Christian? Did that make him a godly person? No. He wished to be, but he didn't want to strive after how to be. Look at the people of Israel. They have submitted to God. Well, they were obedient, disobedient, they were, but then they are willing to go where God wants them to be, in the promised land, and live there so that they can worship God. That's where they are going. When they were going, Moses met his in-law met them, and he told them, go with us. Where we are going, God has promised to do us good. And we are learning that they went to them. But this man saw that this one had been with God is with them, but they cared about that. They didn't care about it. So as I said, many even are happy to sing God's praise in worship. They even cry in worship and bring down, cry heaven to come down. But they did not strive to live for his glory. If I even know about sorry, maybe some of these churches are worship for I say, I'm this way. That's the way they wish to be with people of God, but they don't really want to live like God's people. They do not strive for his glory. They do not make any serious effort to know God personally. You know, God is a personal God. God wants each one of us to know him personally. We speak about his things in the Bible for general, but each one of us, for us to know, we have to take them to ourselves. Jesus Christ has died for the whole world. How can you save one individual? Except I come to him personally, confess my sins to him, and ask him that his death on the cross of Calvary, he should bring me that blood, my forgiveness of sin, wash him in his blood. I should come to him personally. Each one who is ever saved came to him personally. But then people think, well, Christ has died, we are Christians. And I said, no. And that is spiritual laziness. People want to, when it comes to spiritual things, people just want to do a shortcut. But when people go to hospital, they are giving medicine, they are willing to really take every pill so that they will be well. And even when the pill they take for some time, they are not well, then they are so anxious. But when it comes to spiritual things, oh, they always postpone it, as if we have time to live. Just this week, I was passing by the Domain Road. There's a place that these people give tickets to front row people. There's a man, I always see him around. But just this week, I saw his food stand there. So I told my wife, oh, this man, God, always you see him there. He's there. And some time ago, one of them died. I saw them having a food. He was there, and just this week, he's there. Always you see him, because he's there, just by the wayside. So when I saw the picture, I said, oh, this man, I know him. He's there and gone. But then, I don't know his name, but most people live like as if there's tomorrow for us. There's no tomorrow for us. We are only giving mercy to repent and go to the God. Whatever happens tomorrow is in the hands of God. The ABC or Tanya means him. And yet, people think they have tomorrow so that they don't care about spiritual things. So people are lazy. They are lazy. They are not making to know God personally. No, they are not willing to. So my question to you before I move on that is that, are you striving after the purpose of God for neediness? Is that your purpose? Are you striving to know the purpose of God after that so that you have it? At least, I'm sure, after this church, if you have ever come here before, at least for some time you hear about how, God tells us we are naturally depraved, that our sinfulness is not just the act we do, but we are totally depraved. And also how this depravity in this life, it's depriving us of a life with God. And also, if we live in that, it will end in eternal damnation. I'm sure whoever comes here, this thing, each and every week, you speak about it. And that's the purpose of a church, to tell people about this. But that is why Christ came to this world. And also, I'm sure we are also aware that we have always been saying that salvation is God's grace in Christ. So that whatever I can do will never satisfy God's justice for my sin, that unless I come through Christ and ask for forgiveness. I'm sure We have been hearing this each and every week. But how are you striving after these things? How are you? Is it your burden? Are you ordering say week and a week? The other one say, hey, some time we are meeting. Now next time now can you grow? Now then I'm here. Me trust you more than I say. Which means when you are a Christian. If that's not your burden, you are like Balaam. Sister, and you here there. What is a Balaam? Because you have been made aware of what to be done. And God also has given us so much help in His Word. And we each and every day speak about it. So Balaam wished to die like the righteous. But then he lived a sorcerer. Many want to have a welcome when they die, so that their soul will be welcome to heaven. But they are living unconverted, they are living without salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are living without any fear of God. They are living for themselves. And yet they wish to be received in glory. It's a deception. And our heart deceives us. And sometimes we think we are even good people, or we are not too bad people. The Bible tells us to be sure of this before we get out of this world. So I move to my next example. This one is the New Testament. I'm sure we... This man, young man, is called the rich young ruler. It's a popular account in the Bible. His account can be found in Matthew 19, 16 to 18, Mark 10, 17 to 22, Luke 18, 18 to 30. All of them speak about his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. This young man came to Jesus with, he came to him with haste. I was one of them. We are told that he was one after Christ. And he came with the most important inquiry of life. And his question was, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That's what he asked the Lord. And that's the most important question to ask the Lord. How may I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? But after asking this question, he was not willing to surrender to the Savior's answer. He was not willing. So after, because along the line, he claimed, when the Lord Jesus Christ told him to obey the law, he claimed that he has obeyed God's law and that he's perfect in it. But then, when he said that he has obeyed God's law, it's the first table, and the second table. So when you talk about the first and second table, it's the Ten Commandments, the first part speaks about God with us. God, how we ought to. Stand with God, our love to Him, and all that, and that we should have no other God and everything. But the law, they spoke about it, was about His, what He does to His neighbor. That's the second part of the law. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Those how we deal with one another. But then all makes up the Ten Commandments, but that's how it's divided. But if you look at His answers, He was only thinking of how He was dealing well with His neighbors. And that is the problem of self-righteous people. Often they only think of what they are able to do to other people. They are not thinking of how they stand before God and how God demands from them. Self-righteous people don't think of that. They can say, Let me just say, But other parts now, yes, and Yankupon said, and don't Yankupovia, and it's so don't Yankupon, Wakuma, why do you be other Yankupon? And maybe an end of no come. That means a holiday on Shedan. But what he was doing was just dividing the law and taking part of it. And he thought that he has really obeyed the laws of God. And that's what. And then, if I'm a brown food somewhere, I'm training from the door. Me a papa, I'm not going to put so after me for money part. Or media, Mingo Kobi myself, media Minyash yourself. But that's just half of what righteousness. That's just a part. The main one is my stand with God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, thy whole strength. That is what is important. That is where when we think of it, we see that we are truly sinners because nobody is able to do that. Okay, so the Lord just tried to do one thing like he lacked. He said that one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. The Lord just meant that he should give up his love for worldly riches. It doesn't mean that he should not have worldly riches. But he saw that he loved riches. And the Bible tells us, loving anything, when we give ourselves to it, aside from God, is idolatry. So the Lord just saw his idolatry. That's why he claimed that he obeyed God's word. He was an idol worshiper. He worshipped his world. He was somebody who was an idolater, and he had idolatry of the heart. He was a covetous person. He was not willing to give up that. And then, this instruction the Lord gave him, the purpose is that it's to make him free so that he'll be able to pursue heavenly things. He cannot hold on to the worldly things and love them, and also come and love Christ. But the Bible, Christ does tell us that we cannot love God and mammon. We cannot love them together. We either love one and leave the other. So we either love God and leave the love of the world, or love the world and leave God. But people always want to mix the two. But before God, no, it's not like that. You may have read the Bible, she said, you dream, don't we have to say, there's no neutral person when it comes to our dealings with God. So, It's not true. But we are told of the response. And we are told that, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. That is it. So you see, he cannot leave his idols. The things he loved, that God gave. No, he doesn't want it. God did not hate riches, because he gave riches. But then people abuse it, and then people give their love to it. God made people rich. But then because they are sinners, they give their heart and love the things and leave God. That's what people do. Riches, the things of the world, are for God. It's no sin. But then people love it, abuse it, misuse it, and then when they have much of them, and without the grace of God in their heart, they begin to use to work against God and his ways. And it becomes a sin. That's what God, Christ is telling you. You love them so that maybe the honor it will give you. You love them because you think that will give you security in the world. But leave them and come and trust the Lord and prove the Lord's help without these things. And you're not willing. So you see, God is against the riches. He was against the man loving them. And you and I, it's the same thing to us. But look at the state of this man. He wished to have eternal life. That's my point. He wished, Lord, how can I have eternal? How can I do to have eternal? He wished. He's like Balaam. He's wishing. He wished to have God. He didn't run. Look at somebody who is wealthy and run after Jesus Christ. That means a serious matter with him. Probably, as a Jewish, he grew up going to, learn about the law and everything in the pharisaical way. So I think at least, there's a new religious leader called Jesus Christ. Let me go and ask him if he also has a new thing to add up to my what I have. So bold about it, so proud and pompous. And he went and he was hit with this. Then he said no. He went back and was abandoned. He wished to have eternal life, but he refused to strive for it. You see, that's the point I want to make. There should be a striving after what God promised to give us. He wished to have it, but he was not willing to strive. Considering the troubles, that if I follow God and I lose my wealth, How can I be? Because my power, my honor is in the world. How can I be? My faith is in the world. How can I be? My life is in the world. That's what he thinks. So he considers the troubles of living without the world. What's his problem? He had troubles with that. He doesn't want to, live a life dependent on God. No, he doesn't want to. So you see, and this is spiritual laziness. Look at the troubles of spiritual life, troubles of really living for God, and aspiring to be true, genuine Christian. It's spiritual laziness. You desire to be a Christian, but you don't want to, labor for how to be a Christian. That's spiritual laziness. You want to be in a church, you want to attend church meetings and quote be in a Christian name, but you don't want to really deny yourself for what real Christianity is about. It's spiritual laziness. So this is the man. And also like this man, are there not many like this rich man like us? Are there not many among us like that? In the world and here everywhere? There are many. Young and old, they are willing to suffer for anything that will bring them money in this world. Let people, somebody sleep at dawn and let the phone ring. Maybe he has some dealing with somebody. Oh, the money has come home. He cannot even sleep again. He's just waiting for how he can drive out to go take the money. But you let wake that person. Oh, it's time to pray. When it's a bit early, I'll pray. Or even how to get up to pray. Because maybe the day before, he has given himself to the activities of this world. He never even read the Bible properly. So the desire to pray has not even come. See, spiritual things, it's like investments and whatever. You have to give yourself to them. I cannot, live the whole day without reading scripture, meditating, and then I bump in, I want to pray. You will not pray right. You don't pray right. You see, that's what people do. So, there are many like that. They will do anything that will bring them money and even struggle to do it. But they will give thousand excuses to why they are not really serious about having true spiritual life. There are so many excuses why they are not serious about their spiritual life. But when it comes to the things of money and the world, oh, you never see them being there. Because that's where their life depends. It tells you, when people live like that, they are telling you that their life depends on money, not God. Because the Bible has told us that man do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. How did God sustain Elijah for 40 days, 40 nights, just one meal, to travel? Our strength doesn't come from food. Yes, God has made us, we depend on food, but He can sustain us without food. He can sustain, Moses went to take the law, 40 nights, 40 days. No food. He didn't come back hungry. He came back with full strength to come and destroy the other worshippers. God is able to sustain us beyond, even not in the spiritual life, this physical body. So that whatever He says, if we neglect it, we are neglecting life. That's what it means. So you see, people giving excuses for not being serious about spiritual life, they are lazy. And as we say, what they wish to be Christians and not Christians, they will never have it. Because at the end of the day, in this life, they lose relationship with God, and the life to come, they will never know God. So many also imagine the troubles of a holy life as too strict. God demands holiness. God always says, be you holy, as I am holy. It's too strict. Why, if I become serious about spiritual life, I'll become, people will make a mockery of me. Why are you, we are all Christian, why are you why are you too Christian? They don't want that way to be used for them. So, what would they do? They would rather prefer mere church attendance against total surrender to Christ. If I'm a brave, among a share, Bible said, Yamu Pon said, or your concord for concord, or my religious in your concord. They will be transferred, hey, now concord, that means mean to me, yes. Oh, and there, no cross record. Mean from a Kuma, mean from a Rabu near my Tuesday. Now, as a summon, I'm going to go back to my this year, yes, I'm here. We can't Bible. We have to be a person. We read it. We won't fire. The question I'm going to come. Yes, Christo. Better this year, one year, maybe I'm depending on not team if you want to have a new home come down from your master. Maybe I'm for so many and remember. So I wouldn't. There's people consider the strictness of the holiness of Christianity and they want a second-hand Christianity. But with God, there's nothing like second-hand Christianity. Either you're a Christian truly or you're not. That is what it is. So my question to you again before I move on, Do you desire to live eternally happily after this life? Are you desiring that when this life ends, you have eternal happiness? Do you desire it? Then remember that mere church attendance or just going through Christianity is not enough. You must strive beyond that. You have to strive to surrender your mind and heart to the Lord. And it's something you have to do. You don't relax till you are really found that God has really received you. Yeah, somebody will say, I've been praying, but the Lord has not helped me. You have to, because maybe you are not serious. The Lord knows. If you are serious, He knows. You want to live happily after this life, and what are you doing about it? Uber say, a prabo came and said, Ufi Yasi Mua, Ubet Nase, Uenijemu, Ewa, Asasa for everybody. And yet, also in the Eden, Christ Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence taken by force. And this many people think it's about praying and shouting and making noise on Satan. That is not true. This is what you are talking about. Striving is what you are talking about here. Making it a policy, making it my aim to seek the Lord with my heart and mind, that I will ask Him and really pray and cry after Him so He changes my heart. That is the violence you have to do to yourself. You are doing this into your own, because the Bible tells us to deny ourselves. You have to do violence to yourself. My pleasures, my ambitions, my hopes in this world, if it goes against my desire to seek the Lord and really know Him, I have to do violence to them. Because why is violence? Because some of them, you have to really become serious and really go away with it. They will not, else you cannot part with them. That's what it means. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. You must really take hold of this and come. Christ is willing to receive you. So, in moving forward, the verse tells us, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refused to labor, he coveted greatly all the day. We also notice that the misery of the lazy is not just his desire, but a refusal to use the means. We are told, for his hands refused to labor. So you see, being lazy was a spiritual thing. It's a refusal. There's a means. God has given us a mind and heart to seek Him. Paul told them that, told the people, I think it was also one of the things, that He has given us all evidence about Himself. God has given us all evidence about Himself. That happily, if we will seek after Him, we must seek after the Lord. Because He given us opportunity to come and hear the gospel, meaning He wants us to move forward. But are you striving beyond just coming to church? Are you striving beyond just hearing about Him? So you see, this applies to salvation work for sinners. Sometimes people also think that, well, the Bible tells that salvation is all of God's work. Salvation is God's work, as the Bible tells us. The glory belongs to God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Well, it's God's work to save me, so then why should I strive for salvation? The people can say, well, Baba, I shall say, I'm quite young, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. If the work is the Lord, then why must they repent for their sins? Why must I repent? God should just save me and change my heart. That's all. But you know, the Bible does not just tell us one thing and leave it there. Let's remember that repentance is not salvation. Neither is part of salvation. To repent of sin doesn't save anyone. And that's the first place. Repentance of sin doesn't save anyone. Though, it's something that prepares the heart for salvation. You see, our heart is like a farmland. It's a farmland. And the gospel is like the seed that is sown on the heart of us. And the Lord is the sower. So like the farmland, before you farm, you have to clear the weeds and dig it up and everything, what you have to prepare it before you can really sow this. So the same way, the heart must be cleared of love to sin and folly. Our heart is full of sin. We love to sin. We love to go astray from God. And the heart must be cleared from this sin before the gospel can really can receive. The heart is full of bad news. You have to get rid of that bad news so that the good news must come in. But the Bible tells us that sadly, because of our sinfulness, we are not able to repent fully by ourselves. We can try to stop some sins, but without the help of the Lord Himself, no one can genuinely repent. So true repentance is the work of the Spirit in our heart. And that we have to ask Him to help us. We cannot just sit down there, well, I have to repent, I cannot repent. Well, I leave it. No. we need to ask the Lord. But the Lord has graciously told us to call on Him for help, for spiritual strength. In Job 33:27-38, part of 38, we are told that God, He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and profited me not, He will deliver his soul. And it is the way with the Lord. The Lord is really willing to help us if you are willing to come to Him. Coming, asking Him, that one everybody has to. And it should be our desire to see. But we cannot fully repent. We will only repent about maybe the public things that will make us dishonor us. But then there are deep things that truly the Lord only has to help us with. So it's a work of the Lord, but He wants us to ask Him for it. Come and ask Him for it. So my question again to you, are you overwhelmed with your sins? Are you cast down because you think you cannot repent? Are you in that state? Then my word is that never relax. Continue to ask the Lord and be serious about it. Continue to ask Him. He only can help you to sincerely repent, and He can give you that strength. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40 that He gives strength to the faint. Those who spiritually are fainting, He gives strength to the weak. Those who are spiritually weak, He gives them spiritual strength. I cannot repent because I'm spiritually weak. But the Lord has strength to give me to really repent of my sins. I ask Him for help. That's the prayer a sinner has to pray. That the Lord should help me. Remember, there was a woman who said that, Lord, help my unbelief. The Lord should help us. We cannot fully repent of our sins. It is our work to do, but we cannot. It is our work to clear the field so that the gospel can be sown. But we cannot, because there's that love of sin in our heart. We love foolishness. We want to always go astray from God and make us happy. But the Lord has said we should ask Him. Also, in answer our prayer, the Lord has given us the condition. Look at how the Lord tells us in Isaiah 66, verse 2. He said, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This is the mark of the one who is of contrite and one of a poor spirit. He trembles at the word of God. He hears God says that sinners will be perished, sinners will be lost, sinners will be judged. Then I fix myself into that. I'm a sinner. What? I should be judged and be lost at the day at end of life. In this life, I cannot have real blessings from God. Lord, help me. Let me feel this thing to myself, my sins. Lord, help me to do that. I mean, there's a hymn that we say, give me a sight for Savior to see Thy wondrous love for me. Lord, help me to so that my eyes, my spiritual eyes is open so that I can really see the Savior, because I've heard so much about Him, but I still love my sins. He died for sin, but I still love my sins. And I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. The Lord is able to help such. Those who come in sincerity. Not those who just think of it and then they go. So, you know, many also pray, but without knowledge. Not according to knowledge. They just pray. But the Bible directs us that prayer demands commitment. I cannot pray that maybe there's a meeting. I pray, Lord, save me, blah, blah, blah. I want to repent. Immediately I walked out, that is all. No, God doesn't want us to be so. That's not one with a contrite heart. That's not the one that is full of the Spirit. That's not the one who is trembling at the word of God. This is the somebody who just wants to say something like Esau and just forget that he has really committed something. That will have implication on him in the later years. So words are cheap, as we say. Many can weep over their sins, but are careless about them in conduct. Well, I come to church, I confess about that. The next woman I'm outside there, I don't even remember that evening. I even asked the Lord to forgive my sins. And I just continue. Oh, you are joking. No. So you see, prayer comes with commitment. I cannot pray one thing and live one another way. No, I have to start the Lord to help me to live in what I have prayed for. So it's many prayers are unanswered. So when it comes to salvation, because people pray one thing and the second they are forgotten what they have prayed about. They are not even thinking, they are not desiring it again. How do I desire this from God? It should be in my heart all day. How do I desire God to save me? How do I... You see, when people want to go to travel outside and other house, when they go to this whole prayer, pray for me something. Every moment you ask them, is their burden. In all their conversations, well, but some prophets have told them, some demons or wherever they go, they will tell all their friends that there is a demon after them. Yes, wherever they go, they will use that their conversation, but ask, how many of such move about are so concerned that they tell people, well, maybe this one they cannot go, actually confide in others, they still believe it. Well, I've been praying about my sins, but I have not seen anything. It's a worry to me. I wish to be saved. How many people do that? They don't do that. But they are willing to speak about other things they are praying for God's for their worldly advantage. You see? We are not serious about ourselves. So we cannot pray one thing and be careless about it. We and yet desire God to forgive our sins. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ will not grant forgiveness for those who refuse to labor for it. He will not give forgiveness to one who never labor after forgiveness. He will not do that. Look at him. He was willing to go to the cross of Calvary to bear shamefully our punishment and sin. He was willing to give himself for our sins. And must you and I be careless about the very sins that hung him on the cross? Think about it. He died for sin on the cross of Calvary, and we want him to forgive us our sins, and we are careless about this. Think about it. It doesn't make sense. How we are careless about the sins he died for, yes, we deserve to be forgiven. Even normal life, if you have offended somebody, or let's say you have offended, you have been taken to the court. Maybe on the ground they may even let you go. But you go there, you insult, you just speak anyhow. And the judge, looking at your attitude, you say, no, this person, you have to be locked for some time. Oh, yes. You deserve forgiveness. Christ has died for sin. But then, I just confess it, and then I'm there talking anyhow. No, God will never give such. Those that he gives, they are people who are what? A contrite, are not just in their seconds. They are people who felt their poverty. It affects their whole life. Not that they become sad people moving about. No. Deep, while they are moving about with people, deep in their heart, they know their problem. They know that their problem is not money or life troubles. They know that their problem is their sinfulness. So my word to you is that their spiritualism and the words of Proverbs tells us that if we seek things, we have to labor for it. So spiritual things is one. Forgiveness for sin, we have to. So, each one of us, let's think about these things. Why do you stand? Have you strived to obtain this, or you are still striving? Then continue. And if you have never strived, begin. Else, all religion is false and is vain. May the Lord help us as we think on these things to grant us more understanding and throw more light on what we are going to do.